do you want to take that?
Well, let me start by saying it is always difficult when an organization is in crisis and they have reached a certain place financially to make a decision to invest in their own turnaround. Usually it's painful. They don't have the money. They have to find the money somewhere. It is always a difficult set of decisions. But I think most of our clients come to the conclusion that the cost of failure is far greater. The cost of failure means no more mission, no money, no mission. The cost of failure means, you know, that there is no option for tomorrow. So you pay today or you pay big time tomorrow, but time is not your friend in these situations. Time is not your friend. The failure to act digs the hole deeper. So whatever your decision is about engaging us or not, I urge you to think very deeply about the cost-benefit of delay and the cost of spending money now to invest in your success versus continuing to do what you've been doing, which hasn't, you know, necessarily produced the results that you want. So I think that's what most of our clients come to at the end of the day, and the ones that come to that conclusion earlier, that we better spend what we need to spend now, are the ones that have the higher likelihood of success. So that's the first thing.
That wasn't exactly my question, though. I understand that you've come to us. You're interested in doing this very difficult job for us, and the board, we're considering, you know, what you're saying. So, you know, that's part of the reason that you're on the phone in the first place. Not really answering my question.
Well, I'm coming to that, Margaret. So the second part of your question, which was, you know, this is really addressing something that you said earlier. The second part of your question, which is about whether we guarantee that you'll be in the black, we don't guarantee that you'll be in the black. We guarantee that we'll provide a process to get you in the black, and we expect, you know, that you guys will align around the need to work together on this, and we would, you know, that would certainly be our goal. At that point, when we have all collectively decided on a course of action and we're implementing it, you know, we believe, and our experience is that there's going to be quite a bit of low-hanging fruit we can use, you know, kind of capitalize early on. But there are never any guarantees in these processes. The best we can do is tell you that we will work 180% for you, and we will keep our costs as low as they possibly can be. But, you know, the bottom line is it's all time on task. The more time we have to put in, the more it's going to cost, at least in our fees. We're extremely respectful of your budget.
And when we give a plan, we may give a plan with one scenario or two scenarios or three scenarios, but it's quite likely that whether it's one or two or three scenarios, that any or all of those may include some very tough decisions. Or the board, you know, or for that matter, the executive director, you know, the leadership team, if you will need to make very courageous decisions among one or more scenarios to implement that plan to go from the red to the black. I think it's safe to say that things wouldn't stay the same. And whenever you change, that's going to create some kind of pain somewhere in the organization.
Are you done, Margaret?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Jack.
All right. Thank you, Jan and Maria, for coming on to this teleconference with us and for your presentation this evening. I have three questions. One continues along the lines of Margaret's question. Now, you stated that your fee structure is $150 an hour, which goes into the retainer, which sounds like something north of $100,000. Also stated that you project to have retreats with board members, and you intend to do extensive on-the-ground work at our various units. We have three stations that are very disparate. They're all around the country, as you're well aware. Retreats, we're pretty familiar with what it costs to fly and house our board members around the country. whether those charges are included in your estimate or not is not entirely clear. For example, if we have two retreats, are those costs to be borne by the foundation outside of your projected cost at the end of the day? And
yes.
So that's outside. So
yes.
I just have to think that this looks to me like there has to be some sort of projection for overruns. That's my first question. The second question is, for the benefit, we have many listeners, I'm sure, that are listening to this web stream. And for the benefit of them, they're very concerned about openness, transparency. I'm interested to know which board members you spoke to, and you said you spoke to five, so which board members specifically from which signal areas. And finally, I've been taking some notes, and I feel a little bit like I'm in need of a glossary here, because I have one note that states market segmentation. I'm not quite sure what that means. I have another note, cross-functional working on a diagnostic process. I don't really know what that means, so I wonder if you could give some concrete examples of how those particular tools in your panoply of tools, how they would be applied to a radio network.
Well, first, just a correction to the facts. We have not established what kind of a retainer we would ask on this engagement. What we've estimated for you is the range that we think that each component, each phase, is going to cost. So I've heard now twice something about a $100,000 retainer. That in fact is not a part of our proposal. Our proposal is for $65,000 to $110,000 in consultation time, plus customary expenses that are normal to any consulting arrangement, such as our air travel, lodging, room and board, copying expenses. So just to clarify that, I can answer specifically your question about terminology. We expect to set up a cross-functional team, cross-company team of board and staff members to help work on the processing the findings from the assessment phase and the environmental scan phase, and to work in partnership around looking and examining the organization. So that's what we mean by cross-functional team during the diagnostic process.
Okay, and do you happen to recall what you had intended when one of you stated something about market segmentation?
I can give an example.
Jan was talking about a previous client and a portion of the work that he did with a public broadcasting agency.
But the example here is equally applicable, and just to give a very, very simple example of market segmentation and that swath of market analysis. Just for example, some of your listeners might really be listening for social justice issues. Some might listen for human service reasons, pure politics, environmental issues. I mean, that's one way of looking at market segmentation. There's all other kinds of market segmentation around demographics, male-female, age split. But the list goes on, and that's basic market analysis for a lot of sectors, but also it applies to public broadcasting.
Okay.
So that's just a quick snapshot in terms of what market segmentation means. That kind of analysis, would be part and parcel of what would have to happen just to look at increased listenership.
Okay, thank you. And finally, my question, would you be able to tell us which board members you actually spoke to, because I'm not aware of any that have told me that they spoke to you. So I'm just curious who they were and their signal area.
Sure. We spoke to Grace Aaron, who I think is Los Angeles, Rob Robinson, who I think is D.C., let me get my list here. Just give me one moment.
Carolyn Burden.
Carolyn's in what market?
New York.
New York. George Ryder in Houston. And then, did you speak to Joe, Maria?
Yes, I did.
Joe Wanzala, is that Berkeley?
Yeah.
So just the way it worked out, it was one from each sister station area.
I'd just like to ask a follow-up question. And how did you arrive at that selection of board members? Was it random? Did you just pick names at random?
Yeah, I mean, we picked roughly speaking two from each station area, and made those calls, and roughly one called back. So that was how it worked out.
Okay, thank
you. Two other board members declined to be interviewed.
I called back and didn't receive a follow-up call back. This is Sherry Gendelman.
Nobody called me.
So this is me and Madam Chair. This was a point of order. We actually went 20 minutes because I didn't want to interrupt the conversation.
Okay.
So what do we want to do now?
This is Grace. I don't know, but I want to hear from Lonnie.
Move to extend by 5 minutes.
Second.
Objection? No. Okay, Lonnie.
I'll be brief, and I won't wait for an answer to these questions. I'd just like to have them put on the list at some point to be answered. First one is just what the total cost would be. We need estimates on travel, estimates on the extra, so that we get a total cost that we can work with. Second question is, have you worked with an organization and asked for a cap as a limit? If we do this...
What? Phone broke up.
Oh, a cap. A cap on the expenses. I'm asking them if they work with an organization where there's a cap on expenses. That is to say, expenses
yeah,
should
not exceed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That would be something I'd be interested in exploring. The other one is,
yep.
is performance contingencies. Like, for example, a lot of our listeners are very, very orientated toward outcomes. Like, what will we get for our money, and what are the performance outcomes for the consultancy? That is to say, sometimes it's referred to as outcomes, but measurable outcomes would be something to look at. I think that's appropriate. The other one is the moral hazard issue. Many times in consultancies that I've worked with, it's never talked about, but if there's a degree of dysfunction and a lack of consensus, that extends the consultancy hours. And that can be a moral hazard. And we want to control for the moral hazard aspect of it, if possible, and wondering what kind of controls you folks have thought of for that particular situation. The other one is just three outcomes. What three outcomes, clearly stated, sort of measurable outcomes, would the consultancy be striving for? Something that you can talk to people in, you know, simple language about. This is what we're going to get for our money. The last one is the issue of foundation money. And whether or not it makes sense for you folks to look at identifying some of the foundation money up front so that we know that part of the cost, at least, can be covered from that source before we plunge into a heavy financial commitment. Those are those questions, and I don't need an answer. It'll take too long, but those are the ones that popped up for me.
Okay. Grace?
Yes. Oh, yes. I would like to extend this conversation for 10 minutes, and I would also like to present a motion when the consultants are no longer on the phone, because we need to discuss this amongst ourselves.
Second.
It's been extended for 5 minutes. Are you suggesting an additional 5 minutes?
Yes.
Objection? Okay, hearing none. Yeah.
A point of information.
Go ahead.
Are they going to answer Lonnie's questions?
Well, I hope so. Can you begin a stab at that? Either Jan or Maria?
Well, the moral hazard issue, we completely agree, and we stated that on page 17, you know, those are the factors which either keep the cost down or drive the cost up. So, again, the moral hazard we completely agree with. It's in our proposal. And, you know, I don't know how to respond to that. we clearly, you know, hear that there's not consensus among the board right now on a variety of issues. And what we commit to doing is to doing an assessment and performing a participatory process to move you in the direction of consensus. So we certainly strive to reduce that hazard. But, you know, we can't tell you now what the probability is of getting to a certain place.
We will have a much better sense after we get into phase one.
Absolutely.
About, you know, the what we would then project for the rest of the engagement. But, you know, everyone should know that our reputations and our, you know, are built upon our success with clients, and we want you to be successful. We believe deeply personally in Pacifica, and, you know, we don't want to drag out an engagement and have it, you know, and have it not meet your expectations and not significantly help you. So our commitment is to bring our best game to this party, and, you know, we would hope that you guys would do the same and that your staff would do the same, but of course we cannot guarantee that, and we don't know until we get more deeply engaged what the likelihood is of the lower cost options.
And in that same regard, the idea of a cap, you know, might be much more feasible after phase one. But I think a cap at this point, having only spoke to seven of you, would be a little hard. So we're just not sure of all the issues involved.
But we're not, in theory, opposed to not to exceed contracts, and we're certainly not opposed to individual caps on certain expense line items, such as no more than a certain amount per night for hotel fees, no more than, you know, a per diem rate of whatever for food. I mean, those are things that are very common in the industry, and we would certainly work, you know, to find something that you guys were comfortable with.
And at the end of the first retreat, we would have a very strong feeling for phase two, phase three after the first retreat. I think that's a dramatically more informed place than today.
And I think in terms of articulating very clear outcomes, some of them are already encapsulated in our proposal. We certainly could pull them out, highlight them more, you know, bring them to the fore. I think there are some very clear outcomes that we would be striving for and that the consultancy ought to strive for. I'm a big believer in the outcomes framework and its use to achieve great results. So we believe in that, and we would certainly not oppose incorporating more of that into our final contract.
Well, but, I mean, the biggest outcome, to be very clear about this, is that we feel confident that we could deliver a turnaround plan. That, you know, here is the plan, written document, that would explain how to turn around the agency. Again, that's in the proposal. That's, you know, the key piece. And we could certainly give a total cost, which includes the board travel to two retreats, includes our costs. Again, what we can't do is we can't project the other costs that may crop up as we do the assessment. We don't know what the cost of your executive director will be until you identify the individual and negotiate that compensation package. So we can identify the pieces we can identify, and that's, you know, that we can do in the next couple of days.
This is Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
And Bonnie Destack.
Wendy.
Hi, thanks. Thanks, Jana Maria, for being here. I appreciate what I'm hearing, that I know what your specialty is helping organizations that are in unique circumstances, which we certainly are. My question is, have you in your past, have you taken on any consultancies that where you weren't able to help the organization? And if so, what was that about?
Yeah, that happens sometimes. And I would say when that happens, it's often an internal power struggle that is either intractable or close to intractable, and an external you know, external consultant attempts to resolve it. But ultimately, that's been my experience, you know, in a small percentage of engagements.
Wendy, I had an engagement where we did an organizational assessment at the behest of a number of funders, and the board was only minimally involved, and the executive director, you know, was pretty committed to the course of action that he had already plotted for the organization. And so, although, you know, I hate to say it, but I thought it was a good assessment, we were not able to get alignment between the board, among the board members and the executive about what to do. And that organization ended up crashing and burning and is now a shell of what it was. And I do consider it a failure. I do consider it a personal failure that I was unable to kind of create information that could not be ignored. But the fact of the matter was, in that case, that the entire industry in this city, in the Midwest, was unwilling to kind of take this executive director on because he was the founding executive director of this organization. It was a gorilla among, among the other organizations in town. And many people had, you know, had personal relationships with him and were unwilling to kind of take him on. Finally, he said, you know, just give me $1 million. Don't ask any questions and, you know, and everything will be fine. And it was pretty clear at finally, before the organization really crashed, that was not the solution, just throwing more money at it. So, failures do happen.
Well, I appreciate that, and just to follow up, so we understand that you're not miracle workers, and so can you tell us on the commitments that you've taken on, like what percentage of them have been successful?
It's pretty high.
The vast majority, yes.
I don't know if it's 80% or 90%, and then okay. You get into this analysis of which of those are full-blown turnarounds and which of those are mild turnarounds and which of those are not turnarounds, but it's a very high percentage.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, this is Nia.
Yes, Nia.
Both 5 minutes are up. It's
okay.
10:07.
Okay. I'd like to say that when I asked for the time to be extended, I stated that it was so that a motion could be put forward after the turnaround experts are no longer on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go to that? If we need another 5 minutes, I would move that we extend for another 5 minutes for a motion dealing with this.
I would second that.
Okay. Is any other questions for Jan or Maria?
Jan or Maria.
I do have one.
Go ahead.
I would like to know if you've read the Pacifica Foundation bylaws. And I'd like to know if you...
Okay, this is Grace. I have a point of order. I asked for 5 minutes after the turnaround experts are no longer on the call so that a motion can be put forward. I don't want that 5 minutes used up in another way.
Okay, somebody can make a motion to extend. Could you just answer Bonnie's question, and then we would thank and excuse you?
I have not read the bylaws. Maria, have you?
No, they were not provided to us.
Okay. So if I haven't heard anybody else with any more questions, Jan and Maria, thank you for joining the call.
Thank you all.
Yes, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is Grace. Can I be recognized?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think Rob and I, or maybe possibly Joe, have a motion to put forward.
Really? Okay, what is it?
Joe, would you like to put it forward, or Rob?
Well, I don't have it articulated, but I'd like to move that we hire Giant Lakes organization along the lines of what the proposal sets out. The issue of the of the references which haven't been reviewed, so I'd make it provisional upon the references being checked. But I'd like to move that we contact with this organization.
And I second that motion.
This is Jack for the Stack.
Okay. And Carolyn?
Yeah, Mike would like to understand.
Mike. Go ahead, Jack.
As discussed earlier, we do have a proposal from our own general managers who have been meeting weekly and are very familiar with the organization and with radio stations. And we have not taken the time or trouble or had the opportunity to consider their proposal, and I understand it's due to be completed very soon. We do have a draft that was sent out this afternoon. So I move to postpone consideration of this question until we've had an opportunity to consider the GM proposal.
Second.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yes.
My understanding was that won't happen until sometime in January. Is that what Jack meant when he said that it'll be ready soon?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Jack?
Well, I am.
Jack?
Is that what I meant?
No, I meant what?
My information is that they were going to finalize this proposal by the end of December and have a final meeting in the first week of January.
So this motion would postpone until after that happens?
The intent of the motion is to postpone it until the P&B has at least had an opportunity to consider their proposal. Maybe we can consider it in a preliminary form and not in its final form. So I move to postpone until the P&B has had an opportunity to consider the GM's proposal.
Okay. Is there a stack?
Second. Carolyn?
Second. Mike, on the postponement.
Okay. Carolyn?
Yosh.
Yeah, I think I think your memo, the chair's memo earlier, and some of the comments I heard tonight indicate that there's a little bit of confusion about what this group does, what this turnaround team does, and what the GM proposal is. If I understand what the GMs are proposing, this is something that, in fact, a turnaround team would take into consideration and work with in order to help with a buy-in and incorporate this into whatever they see as a formula for success for the foundation. And I don't see these as two separate competing proposals. The GM proposal seems to be, to me, to be what GMs are supposed to be doing, which is looking at money and so on and taking care of their stations. And I think that the turnaround team is looking at things from a more holistic perspective and helping various segments of our organization communicate better with each other and work together instead of against each other. So I don't see any reason, frankly, to postpone taking on the turnaround team now and considering the GM proposal when it comes through. What I'm concerned about is a little bit about the cost. So I'm very much heartened by their attempts to help us get funding for this, but also by after the end of phase one, for instance, we will be able to consider whether we're going to move forward to phase two. So I would speak very much in favor of hiring them now, taking them on, and working with these details as we go along. I don't know how we can lose by that method, frankly.
Ronnie on the stack.
Mike?
I support the postponement as the treasurer of the board, and I bet Lonnie's going to say the same thing. We have to evaluate the cost implications of this proposal. That has not been done. And the reason that is so important is because we are broke. And we are having a discussion about borrowing money, a big debate about that, and we're talking about entering into a contractual relationship with a group that wants to charge us, significant amounts of money. And if we're going to do that or entertain that idea, it's incumbent upon us to have a discussion of where we're going to get that money. And we just don't have a surplus right now, so if the board is really bound and determined to want to do this, then I think it's very important that we identify where in the budget we're going to pay for this, and that the board have a full understanding of not just that we're, you know, if we're going to do this, they need to have an understanding of how it's going to impact the network physically. Remember that WPFW came in $150,000 short, so already dealing with that issue of $150,000. And KPFT came in $25,000 short. So, I mean, it starts to add up when we're already dealing with the deficits that we're trying to overcome from the previous budgets and the borrowing of the money. If we're going to do this, it's not fair to have this discussion unless we say, okay, by doing this, we're going to zero out this line item funding. We're going to do away with this staff position at this radio station and this staff position at this radio station so that we can pay for it, because we don't have any surplus. So we need to postpone until a proper fiscal impact analysis can be done.
This is Grace. I have a point of order. I'm sure our time is up, and to extend time on this would take a two-thirds vote.
You are at exactly time.
Okay. We have a stack that includes, well, just one person. Okay. So is there an objection to extending this conversation for another 10 minutes?
I object.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's take the roll call.
Madam Chair, how many people you said there on the stack?
One.
I have a short question.
Go ahead, Donna. Or is it Lori?
It's Lori, actually.
I'm sorry, Lori. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think it might, well, I feel that it would be good to postpone this vote, but at the same time, when the vote is taken, if we could add a short comment, some sort of friendly amendment, that there might be a review after the first organizational assessment.
You know what, Lori? I'm sorry. We're right now. We're talking about we're going to take the vote to extend the
discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that part.
This is Grace. I have a point of order, Sherry. You cannot put a motion forward. Someone else has to extend time.
I move to extend time by 15 minutes.
Second.
Okay. Is there an objection to extending time?
Yes, I object.
Yeah.
All right. So,
point of information?
Yes.
If we don't extend time, what happens then?
We have to go to a vote on the postponement.
Suppose we voted on the postponement. Is that right? Is that what happens then, Sherry?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So first, Madam Secretary, the first vote is time. By
15 minutes. Grace Aaron?
No.
Nia Bediaco?
Yes.
Evelyn Bissoun? Carolyn Burden?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Is this to extend time?
Yes.
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Pass.
Vikai Free?
No.
Ambrose Lane, Mike Martin?
Yes.
Essien Rangaza?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarah Randawa? George Reiter?
Yes.
Pat?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Jamie Ross?
Pardon, I have a question about this vote. Are we voting time only to extend time on the debate to postpone, or are we voting to extend time on this entire issue of the turnaround firm?
On the entire issue.
I vote yes.
Wendy Schwab? Wendy?
I abstain.
Abstain. Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Tezuma?
Abstain.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Anzala?
No.
Yasha Manaka?
Abstain.
Kathy Davis? Kathy?
Abstain.
And George Ryder? You abstain as well.
Yes.
Seven yes, six no, and one, two, five abstentions.
Okay. And it fails. We go to a.
It passes.
Huh?
It passes.
That's, no, it needs
to
be
needs
third.
Oh, it needs third. Oh, sorry.
Okay, we're going to go now to the vote on the motion to postpone the vote. Madam Secretary. Sorry, the motion to before the board is to postpone the vote until the board receives the turnaround plan from the GM.
No, that wasn't.
No, no.
That's what we just voted on.
Pardon me? Jack?
Point of order. Jack. Yeah, the motion was not...
Excuse me, Jack.
Yeah, the motion was to postpone until the board considers the differences because we may consider it in a preliminary and not final form.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Grace Aaron?
No.
Nia Bediaco?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. No, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Kathy David?
Yes.
Zakai Free?
No.
Ambrose Lane? Mike Martin?
Yes.
Effie Anoigaza?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa? George Reiter?
Pass.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Jamie Ross?
No.
Wendy Schroll?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Taguma? Lori?
Pass for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Anzala?
No.
Yasha Manaka?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Abstain.
And George Reiter?
Abstain.
Lori Taguma?
I would like to see the GM's proposals, so I abstain.
You abstain?
Madam Chair, I didn't hear what Donna said. What was the vote count?
Nine no, six yes, and three abstentions.
Thank you.
Okay, next vote is on hiring the turnaround firm.
Hello, Madam
Chair. What? What?
I'd like to Jack, please.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I said I'd like to be on this back.
Casey, I think that the discussion on that. Well, okay, go ahead.
To the point of order, there's no time left. It has
order.
To be a vote.
Excuse me, Grace. Madam Timekeeper, what is our time?
The time is up. We have to go to a vote because that extension to extend fails. To extend time fails.
Okay. Point of information.
Yes.
We have to go to the Finance Committee. We're passing something unbudgeted, and it's by our PNB motion that this has to go to the Finance Committee for appraisal.
It's a point of order. It's not a point of information.
Sorry.
And it's true. It's our local rules. I mean, our PNB rules dictate that there be a financial statement associated with this, which is what I was saying before. It just passed blindly. So I join Bonnie in that point of order. This thing can't be considered until it's been financially reviewed.
Okay.
Mark, I join with that as well.
Okay.
Okay, this point is out of order. The Finance Committee can give a feedback about the motion. And
Grace, you're not the chair. I'm waiting for a ruling from Sherry, my chair, on my point of order.
I uphold, I believe that the point of order is accurate. There is no financial impact. We have passed a budget for this organization. We don't know how much the contract's going to cost or where the money is going to come from. And our rules require that we do have a financial impact and that impact be vetted through the Finance Committee. So I will uphold that point of order. You can challenge the ruling of the chair.
Good, let's challenge the ruling of the chair.
Yes. Okay. Would you take the roll call, please? To uphold the ruling of the chair that...
Well, Madam Chair.
Yes.
You uphold an order that's been rendered by the board. How can anyone challenge the rule of the chair?
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Okay. I'm going to...
It's not a kangaroo court, nor is it a situation where people can put up whatever they want, because I think the whole motion was an entrapment in the beginning. And so to put this out here like this, here we have interviewed people, we've had interchange with them, and suddenly there is an attempt to vote without any discussion. We haven't even discussed among board members other than questions we asked the people who were applying for this consultancy. This seems to me to be way out of order, and I think that...
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Put it out of order. I don't know how voting it back in order is going to help the legal restrictions that we have on. Right?
Okay. Carolyn, point of order.
Board ruled on that.
Carolyn.
Margaret, point of order.
Board, I'd call for a legal ruling on that question.
Carolyn, you had a point of order. Okay, we've lost Carolyn. Margaret, did you have a point of order?
Well, I had a point of order.
My point of order is that full opinion on this, because I think this is an illegal vote.
Okay.
Carol.
So right now we're involved in a vote to uphold or overturn the ruling of the chair.
Chair, I had a point of order. Is this Mike?
Yes, sure. Mike.
AC is correct, and although let's not leave it to AC or me. We have National Counsel. Is he on the call? Can we ask him?
This is what I just
it's a violation of a rule. This is not a matter of chair discretion over Robert's Rules of Order. This is a matter of voting against the policy of this foundation voted on by this board. That's a different deal altogether.
A point of order, Madam Chair, Carolyn. On the
What's staff. Your point of order, Carolyn?
Yes, I'm sorry to have I was inadvertently before. This is not a legal question. We don't need counsel. This is a question of Robert's Rules. The ruling, which is perfectly proper, and it's been challenged, which is also perfectly proper. So to object to it because one doesn't care for it really is just impeding the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to go to a vote to uphold the ruling of the chair.
This is a special rule of order. What's been invoked is a special rule of order. It's within Robert's rules to have special rules of order, and you're perfectly entitled to rule the way you did, and then we should move to a vote on whether or not to uphold the ruling of the chair.
So moved.
Point of order, Margaret.
Yes, so
Margaret.
No.
Second.
Stop, everybody. Margaret.
Yes, I concur with Mike. I don't think this is a question of Robert's rules. I would like to hear an opinion from legal counsel on whether or not this board can vote for money that has not been budgeted. I would like, I'm making a request to hear an opinion from legal counsel. This is not Robert's rules. This has to do with the fiscal responsibility of those of us who are members of the board.
Margaret, Dan is not on the call.
Dan,
we could have
point of order.
Everybody.
Point of order.
Dan is not on the call, so I can't get a legal opinion now. I tend to agree with Mike, but if it turns out that the action is illegal, we will undo it at the next meeting. Right now, we have
point of order.
Can we not vote to overturn the ruling of the chair?
Yes. What?
Point of information, Mark.
Can we not vote to overturn the ruling of the chair?
I'm sorry. Again, you were drowned out, Rob.
Point of information, Mark.
Margaret, I'm asking Rob a question, and then I'm going to get to your point of information.
I am asking if we cannot vote to overturn the ruling of the chair. Because if we can, then I want to have that vote called right now.
Okay. And, Margaret, your point of information was?
My point of information is that if indeed this vote turns out to be an illegal vote, what do we have to do as a board to undo it?
I'll put it on the top of the agenda for the next
first
meeting.
Vote or what? I'd just like to know.
All right. Madam Secretary, let's just vote to uphold or overturn the ruling of the chair. And how much is the vote required to overturn the ruling?
It's just majority.
Okay.
So is this to uphold or?
Is it going to be
a yes or no to uphold? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Grace Aaron.
No, against the ruling
Madam,
of the chair.
Madam Chair, I have a.
Out of order, please, Madam Chair. Please, can we've started to vote. Can we move on?
Go ahead.
No, Madam Chair. I can still intervene.
What?
I'm calling for a substitute motion.
No, wait. Right now we're going to vote. AC can't do it. So, Grace.
Can I have a substitute motion?
You can after we vote on this.
Okay.
This is Grace. I vote no. I'm against the ruling of the chair.
Okay. Nia Bediaco.
Absolutely, I applaud the chair's ruling. What are we doing here?
Yes or no, please?
Yes, Donna, I'm sorry. That was not directed at you. Sorry.
Yes, you are to uphold. Okay. Evelyn Bassoon. Carolyn Burden.
Votes no.
AC Bird.
I vote to uphold the rule of the chair. My court be cited in the records that this is an illegal vote.
Kathy Davis?
Pass.
Pass.
Yes.
Lekai Free?
No.
Ambrose Lane? Mike Martin?
Yes.
Yes. Effie Nwagaza?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Absolutely, yes.
Sarah Randawa? George Reiter?
Pass.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Jamie Ross?
No.
Wendy Schroll?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Taguma.
Yeah.
Jack Van Aken.
Yes.
Joe Anzala.
No.
Yasha Manaka.
Abstain.
Kathy Davis. Kathy?
No.
No?
No.
George Reiter?
I abstain.
have 9 no, 7 yes, 2 abstain.
Okay. Now we proceed to vote on the motion to hire this turnaround firm.
Is there a discussion?
Madam Chair, could I have a point of information from Joe who made the motion?
Yeah.
Joe, you said that until we get the references. Are we talking about all 2,700 of them? How many are we talking about? Hello?
Hello? Joe?
I'm sorry, I was talking on mute. I've not been emailed to the team. I don't know how many they are. I'm sorry?
Rob said there were 3.
Right. Nia seems to be maybe referring to all the organizations that work with. I think we're just talking about professional references. And so what I was suggesting is that, we make it contingent upon those references being done, reference review being done. I would also maybe suggest amending my own motion to add language to address the concerns that have been raised. I mean, this to me is sort of like the situation we faced when we were trying to have our meeting in D.C. early on in the year, and we bifurcated the question of whether or not to move forward with the meeting with the question of where to find the money to do it. I think if we agree in principle that we want to go in this direction, or people who want to vote that way can do so, but I think we can separate out the question of the monies will be found, but tie it to final resolution of this motion. So the motion would read, that the Pacifica National Board hired the firm of Glick and Gutierrez pending a review of the references. The board also directs the Finance Committee to identify monies that can be used to identify this contract. And the final decision on hiring the consultant will be made or be contingent upon a resource allocation assessment being done by the Finance Committee.
That sounds
That answers your question. Go ahead.
I said that sounds much better to me. But...
Okay. I don't know if it is.
Point of order, there has to be time extended for this amendment.
I want to second Joe's motion.
Well.
Move to extend by 15 minutes to discuss this new motion.
This is what we should have been doing rather than wasting time challenging Sherry.
Point of information, Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
I don't understand the motion. I'd need to hear it again.
Okay, I'm just emailing it. I just was kind of drafting it as I spoke. But what it would achieve would be essentially to say, we passed the motion, in principle, contingent upon the money being found to make it happen, to make the hire happen. So it's sort of bifurcating the issue. In other words, in principle, those of us who think it's something we should do can vote to do so, but then that still begs the question of how are we going to pay for it. So the motion would I added some language to say that the Finance Committee would have to do a resource allocation assessment to find the money to do it. And if we can't find the money, then I suppose it won't happen.
Carolyn, I'm there.
Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I'd like to amend that. I don't want to leave it just to the Finance Committee because Glick and Gutierrez suggested that they might have some resources. So I would like to say the Finance Committee and members of the board working with the turnaround company with Glick and Gutierrez should find some resources.
I'm sorry, could you speak louder, please?
I'm sorry, my battery is dying. I want to amend that to say that not just the Finance Committee, but Glick and Gutierrez should also be consulted. In other words, the entire board should work to find other resources, working with Quick and Gutierrez, because they have indicated that they, in fact, could help us find some resources.
And, Madam Chair, just a point of order, I don't know what this is. For Joe, that earlier he mentioned about the references. When you recap it, Joe, please be sure to put the references back in there.
In order to proceed, we have to extend time.
Yes. Thanks. And I believe the language is in, it's just sent to the net board necessary.
Yes, and that was an amendment that I made, by the way. If I don't know if anyone seconded it.
I would second it if I could, but I haven't heard any second.
Wait a minute.
I know I can't check it. I'm just saying. I didn't.
Yeah.
Point of order.
Go ahead, George.
We have to extend time. Was the motion to extend time approved?
No.
I didn't think so.
Okay.
So we have to extend time in order to amend a motion that's on the floor. Otherwise, we have to vote on it. So that's really what's on the floor is a motion to extend time for 15 minutes.
Is there objection to extending time?
Well, Madam Chair, this is Nia. Just a point, since I'm the timekeeper here, it's 11:01.
I know. We're at 3 hours, and we're never going to get to the rest of the agenda. And
so we need 2/3 to go beyond 3 hours.
Yeah, we do. So I think what the deal is that we finish the business on the table.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second.
So moved.
I move that we continue this meeting.
Yeah.
That we continue
right,
this
everybody.
Meeting another day.
Okay. So just a second, everybody. I was going to propose meetings every week on alternately Sundays and Friday nights for the remainder of December, except for the Christmas week. The 20th is Hanukkah for those who might be celebrating that, the Christmas New Year's week. And since we haven't really addressed the remainder of the agenda and we're at time, I do think that we should continue the meeting and set, I can pick alternating Fridays and Sundays for meetings throughout December.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
There was a motion to adjourn, which isn't debatable. We should go to a vote on that, and then we can talk about the rest of this.
Okay.
We can't talk about anything if we're adjourned.
Well, then vote against it.
We're at time.
And I call for this meeting to be adjourned. Margaret.
Okay. Madam Secretary.
Grace Aaron?
No.
Nia Bediako?
Yes.
Are we voting on?
Adjourning.
Whether to adjourn.
Evelyn Bethune? Carolyn Burden?
Pass.
A.C. Bird?
Yes, to adjourn.
Kathy Davis?
No.
Zach Guyfrey?
No.
Ambrose Lane? Mike Martin?
Yes, to adjourn.
Effie Nwangaza?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarah Randhawa? George Ryder?
No.
Rob Robinson? Rob Robinson? Jamie Ross?
No.
Wendy Schroll?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Taguma?
Yes.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
No.
Yasha Manaka?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
And
can you check if Rob is back?
Yes, Rob Robinson.
Yeah, I'm back.
Did you?
I
do you
want
to adjourn?
I vote no.
No. Eleven no, seven yes.